Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, so that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. We now read responsively by half verse our psalm for today, which can be found in your bulletin. The Lord watches over the sojourners. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord watches over the sojourners. The epistle is from Galatians chapters 5 and 6. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where are you sowing? In our epistle reading for today, Paul covers a lot of ground. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to cover as much ground as he did in as short amount of time. But that is one of the nice things about the one-year series that we're on, that this reading will come around again every year, and I'm sure I can get around to the other stuff eventually. Today, we're going to be focusing in on that last paragraph there. We're going to be talking about sharing all good things with the one who teaches, sowing and reaping, and where you're sowing and reaping in particular, and growing weary. Especially growing weary of doing good. Before we get there, though, let's talk just a little bit about stewardship, because that fits well with this idea of where you're sowing and where you're reaping. And usually when people hear the term stewardship, you probably think about money, or maybe you haven't even heard that word and you have no idea what I'm talking about, which is okay too. And for the record, what you do with the physical resources that God gives you, money in particular, is a part of stewardship. For what it's worth, I recommend tithing, which is just giving 10% of whatever you get. But if that doesn't work, I would at least suggest percentage giving, just kind of on a practical note. And one of the nice things about that is because, well, 10% of zero is in fact zero. Or 5% of this is one thing, and if the next year you're not getting as much, 5% is less, but it's still the 5%. It kind of just makes it easy in some ways, or maybe not easy, but at least simple. But that is, of course, only a suggestion. And what you do with your money is certainly not the only thing that stewardship is dealing with. We call it stewardship because it's talking about how you are taking care of what God has given you. To be a steward is like being the one who somebody puts in charge of their things. Whether it's money, whether it's children, whether it's property, all of those things, it's basically you're the one who's been put in charge of something that isn't actually yours. And that is part of the key here. is to recognize the truth that everything that you have has been given to you by God. And so in a very real sense, when we talk about stewardship, we're talking about what you actually do. And this is kind of a really practical level of things in a lot of ways. What you do with the time that you've been given, with the relationships that you've been given. All of those things. How are you taking care of the gifts and resources that God has given to you? And the way that Paul goes about this is he talks about you're going to reap where you sow. So again, I ask you, where are you sowing? Or maybe to put it another way, where are you focusing your efforts? We have a lot of problems nowadays, and maybe one of the biggest problems is a lack of focus. And one of the reasons that we have this problem nowadays is because I think it's fair to say that in a way that is different than in the past, that we have so many more options nowadays. We have so many places, so many different things that sometimes are demanding our efforts, demanding our focus. And thanks to the internet in a lot of ways, and this is actually sort of a good thing, we have many more opportunities as well to reach out and to focus our efforts. So, just to kind of help us narrow things down, or maybe categorize things, I think we can use this teaching that Martin Luther came up with to help us a little bit. And it's called the teaching of the three estates. And those three estates, or the three realms you can almost think of, are the family, the church, and the state. So when you think of the family, you should think primarily about what we would call nowadays that nuclear family. The ones who live in the same house as you live. Though, of course, this stretches out as well to your extended relatives and things like that. That is one estate. That is one of the domains in your life where God has given you certain vocations, certain gifts, and people to serve and to serve you. That's one of the estates. It is probably worth mentioning that the family is, in fact, the most important of the estates because it is from the family that the other two come. The second estate is the church. This place where we gather together to receive the gifts of God, where we gather together to serve each other, to love each other, as well as to reach out to those around us and speak the word to others. Most importantly of all, the place where we come to receive the forgiveness for our sins and to share that forgiveness with all others. Again, this is one of the realms of your life. This is one of the dominions where you can come and you've got certain people who you love, who you care for. You have certain gifts, certain resources that you can use here in the church. And then lastly, we have the state. And in a lot of ways, we can sort of think of the state as pretty much anything that's not church or family. Sort of a catch-all in some ways. It is obviously talking about our nation, and this is fairly obvious there. We are citizens of a country. We have certain rights and duties and vocations in that. But this also includes things like your friends. Sometimes we can even say this is your neighborhood. This is your community outside of the family in the church. And again, this is a place where you can choose, am I going to focus my efforts here? Where am I going to focus my efforts? In these estates. And so it's fair to think about when you're thinking about simply the time that you're spending on things, the resources that you're using for things, your own effort, your own kind of thoughts as you devote time and effort to things. It's fair to think about which estate are you sowing in. However, Even as you do that, it's fair to recognize that these are not necessarily mutually exclusive. For instance, your careers are likely involved in one way or another in all three of these estates, and your home life certainly is. So then, let's jump back to how Paul talks about it. As you think about stewarding what God has given you in these three estates, we need to ask ourselves the question, are you sowing to the flesh, or are you sowing to the Spirit? And we know what the answer should be to that question, but what is the actual answer? Paul gives us some pretty hard, firm words here. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Do not think that God doesn't know what you're doing with what he has given to you. Do not think that God doesn't know what you're spending your money on, that God doesn't know where you're focusing all of your time and your efforts. He knows exactly what you're doing with the things that he has given you. He knows exactly what you're doing with his things. And Paul is very clear here. Wherever one sows, that will he also reap. And really, in a lot of ways, this just makes sense. If you spend your time, your effort, your talents, your treasures on things that are simply for the flesh, and remember when Paul talks about flesh and spirit, he's basically meaning your sinful old man or your spiritual new man, the one who has been forgiven and redeemed. Where are you focusing your efforts? Where are you focusing your resources? If you spend all of those resources, all of the gifts that God has given you in working on the flesh, in working on the sin that used to be in your life that you're trying to get away from, you ought not be overly surprised when that sin just doesn't seem to ever leave. You're investing your time and your efforts in it. Of course it's going to stick around. Whereas if you spend your time, your efforts, your talents and your treasures focusing on the Spirit, seeking to do that which is right, trying to follow the will of God in your life, then you ought not be surprised when perhaps you see some progress in that area. And again, do not think that God doesn't care what you do here. He does. Remember the truth that it's all his. So, what are you using his time, talents, and treasure for? Also, do recognize the truth, this is a slight aside, that this doesn't mean that you just have to come and give all of your money and all of your effort and all of your willpower to the church. There are good spiritual ways to serve in your family, which, as I mentioned, was the most important of the three estates, and even in the church as well. Paul's point here is to think about it, to be conscious of it, to be intentional about it, to seek after that which will give you what you're seeking, which is eternal life and not corruption. And also recognize the truth that God knows this is hard. This is not easy. It requires sacrifices. Sacrificing the things that you may very well feel like you want, maybe even feel like you need. Sacrificing things that maybe you even think your kids want and need. This requires being mocked, especially in our world. Being mocked for spending so much time with your family, for spending so much time in worship, for spending so much time trying to speak the truth into the world around us. You will be mocked for that, because they think you're being foolish, because they think that you're wasting your time and your talents and your treasures. And it requires repentance. It requires looking at yourself and knowing that you failed, knowing that you could do better, and recognizing the truth that you need to be forgiven for that. But also recognizing the truth that you are forgiven for that. As with all things, we have not done this perfectly. This is part of the reason why we come, is to hear the truth that Jesus died on the cross because we don't take care of his things right. And he rose from the dead to prove that he does take care of us right. He also knows that you're tired. Paul knows this as well. It is hard. It is exhausting. It's tiring to seek doing good in an evil world. And that's not just going to go away. There's no easy solution to that. But do recognize the truth that God knows, that God is here. And recognize what he has promised you. He has promised to give you life. The very life that you have now, your very breath that you are breathing, were given to you by God. And even though one day that breath will likely leave you, unless Jesus comes sooner, which, come Lord Jesus, he will give you life again. He came to die on the cross to earn that life for you, to earn forgiveness for you, for those times when we don't do this well. And he came to give you the salvation that you could not earn yourself. These things are yours. They are yours right now. And you are free to use them, to use them as you have opportunity. To use your life to sow to the Spirit, to take the forgiveness that God has given you, and to share it with those around you, and to recognize the truth that you have been saved by what Jesus has done, and that even if you mismanage his resources, he will forgive you, and you are still saved. You are still his. He will not mismanage his resources. He will not abandon his stewardship over you. He will do everything in his power to care for you as he has promised to do. And perhaps one little last practical note that you are free to prioritize. You do not have infinite power. You do not have infinite resources. You do not have unlimited time and willpower to devote to all of the things that are demanding your attention. And you are free to prioritize as you have seen fit. God has given you the stewardship of your time, talents, and treasures. And you are free to use them as you seek to serve the Lord in all areas of your life. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.